My sermons are like a stick of bologna. I can cut them off anywhere. Amen. I called tonight, checked on my wife to see how things going home, make sure she fed my dog. And Jake, the wonder dog, my bird dog, make sure he's still alive. And when I did it, I thought about that story I told you about the lady. She had to go on a trip, and she left her favorite cat at home with her mama, with her husband. And her husband, she'd been gone about a week, and she called and said, how's things going at home? He said, oh, they're fine. He said, but your cat's dead. And she said, and she busted out crying. She said, my cat. He said, yeah. He got up on the roof. He fell off the roof, and he died. And she said, well, you didn't have to be so cruel and blunt. She said, you could have broke it to me slow. She said, you could have said the first day the cat was on the roof playing, and the second day he fell off the roof and got hurt. And then you could have said the third day he died. You didn't have to be so blunt. He said, well, I'm sorry. She said, by the way, how's mama? He said, she's playing on the roof. Amen. I'll teach her, amen. All right, if you got your Bible tonight, while you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll tell you how glad we are to be here. And appreciate your kindness to us. Brother Ryman and them always treat us so good. They feed us good, and they treat us like family. We like that. And there's not many of us left. Brother Soche, Brother Mark and Brother Ryman and Brother Stocker and a few more back here. I see Brother Barry tonight. But there's not many of that bunch we came through with, around anymore, at least not where I can see them. But I'm glad to have some of the old friends still around. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6 of the Bible, I'll try this. This is an old sermon. It's old of mine anyway. Somebody may have preached it, but I don't think so. Probably preached a version of it. But I'll try it, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. Father, we do thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, dear God, for getting us here safely today. Amen. Thank you for your watch care, Father. Amen. Lord God, Father, we can't bring anything up here, Father. We couldn't bring a revival. I would if I could. Amen. Lord God, we just, dear God, do the best we can to worship you in spirit and truth and preach, dear God, what you'd have us to preach. And I pray, Lord God, your Holy Spirit move in and out the aisles and do the true work, dear God, in the hearts of these people. Lord God, help us to have revival. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Once you've been around a revival, I've been around a couple, boy, you're always looking for the next one. Yeah. And like Brother Stocker said, our people, anytime you see us, we need revival. Anywhere you see us, we need revival. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to preach a little bit about that tonight, 2 Kings 6:1. It says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Amen. I find that to be the case everywhere I go anymore. Amen. What we preach is too straight for most people. Yeah. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Got to have it back. I borrowed that. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I will preach about that for a few minutes tonight if I can. And I will, like I said, I really won't be very long. But I will preach tonight. This guy lost his axe head. Yeah, and he got it back supernaturally. He got it back, but the man of God got it back for him. But I'm going to preach tonight, and this is true of your church. How do you know, Brother Jim? Because it's true of my church. Right. It's true of Brother Stocker's church. It's true of every church I know. And so I'm going to preach that for a few minutes on what to do if you lose your edge. Amen? Yeah. What to do if you lose your edge. You notice he was involved in a great work. They had a great leader, Elisha, my soul. What better preacher would you want than that to do the work? But this man lost his edge. And you'll need it. Say, what's the edge? The edge was the power to get the job done. Amen. Without the edge, brother and sister, without the axe head, without the edge, he couldn't do nothing. Amen. He didn't have the sharpness anymore he used to have. He couldn't knock a tree down. He couldn't put a dent in the tree. He lost the edge. He lost the power to do the job. Now, he could have been a Baptist. If he'd been like most of us, he would just kept on swinging. That's what Baptists do. They just keep right on swinging like they still got it. They act like they still got the edge, like they can still get the job done. Ain't got nothing left. That's what Baptists would have done. He could have kept right on swinging in there with the others and pretending. He could have made a lot of noise. Well, he could have gotten there and said, oh, man, he could have talked about what they cut last year. Woo, boy, here last year, 2 years ago, man, I really cut it. Man, we tore him up here 2 or 3 years ago, didn't we? He could have kept talking about what they did last year, year before. He could have made a lot of noise. At the end of the day, he could have sweat and been worn out just like all the rest of them. But he wouldn't have put a dent in a tree. He really couldn't accomplish anything. Say, why? He, brother and sister, he lost his edge. Now listen, God's given us a great work to do. Our work's to reach the lost, to build a Bible-believing church, and to try to keep, I'll add this in, to try to keep a little bit of the old-time religion alive. That's our job. God left us here to do that. And we, listen, we can go out there and sweat. We can make a lot of noise. We can keep going, and we can keep doing. But you won't make a dent in this community or anywhere else without the edge. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to need God's touch. You're going to need his power to get the job done. You're going to have it. The old folks used to say it's the Lord's touch. That's the edge. A lot of the old folks used to say it's God's presence. It's God's hand on what you're doing. I don't know what care what you call it, but I know you got to have it. Amen. And you got to have his touch on what you're doing. You got to have that. I know that much. Churches have learned how to operate without the touch. I'm telling you, brother and sister, we got enough programs in place in most churches. We're not too programized where we're at, but we're not too programmed. Matter of fact, we don't program nothing. My VCR is still flashing midnight. But average Baptists have got enough programs in place in church right now to go on without the Lord. We can go on and have church without the Lord's presence or his touch. Yes, sir. Amen. We know how to do it, boy. You can get up and you can sing without God's touch. You can get up and teach without it. You can get up and preach without it. There ain't a preacher in a building that hadn't preached a sermon, and boy, it got on. I mean, they were swinging on the chandeliers, boy, running the aisle. Woo! And you say, man, I'm taking that one with me. Next place I go and preach it there. And you get there and preach it, and they look at you like a tree full of owls. You say, what's the difference? Probably the Lord's touch. You probably had too much confidence in your message. Amen. You can teach Sunday school without it. You can go out the door like Samson. Bible says Samson went out as he did at other times, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. The spirit was gone. He didn't even know it was gone. Oh, you've seen him right here. I've seen him in our church. You see him get up and sing, boy, just turn it loose. And everybody sitting there, ain't nothing on it. Ain't, God ain't within 100 miles of it. I've seen him teach without it. I've seen him preach without it. I get tired. I'll be honest with you. I get tired of seeing preachers who have no confidence in the Word of God and have no confidence in the Lord. Every service has to be a production. Somebody got to climb over the pulpit or jump 4 or 5 pews or have the everything, anything to keep people excited except the Word of God and the Lord's touch. Now, listen, I don't mind that stuff. I like to see them run the aisles. I like to see them climb pews. I don't care if they walk the communion table. I like all that stuff. But I get tired sometimes that people think they have to put on a show to accomplish God's work. What it takes is his Word and his touch. That's what you got to have. Well, I'm going to preach about that a couple minutes, and I'll quit. And I'm watching that clock sharp, boy. Man, I'm really not, Brother Raymond. Unless when you give me a nudge, I'll quit. No, I'll be done. I'll have you out here by 9 o'clock, God willing, I promise. unless we have revival.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Then we'll stay all night. I'm not the brakeman on this train. I'm the fireman. I'll throw the coal to it if it gets going. Amen. Well, brother and sister, here's what happened when he lost his edge. Look down there in verse 5, number 1. Notice number 1, his concern. The Bible says he fell in a beam and he cried. He cried out and said, Master, I've lost it. Man, he was concerned. You know what the first thing to do to get your edge back is to realize you ain't got it no more.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, his first concern was, hey, I've lost something. Boy, if we could get right there, we'd have revival tonight.
Yeah.
If you just, some of you just be honest and say, I ain't got it anymore.
Yeah.
I've lost some of what I had. I'm still saved. I still love the Lord. But I ain't got what I used to have.
Yeah.
Everybody on the road getting a blessing except me.
Yeah.
Everybody shouting, raising their hands except me.
Yeah.
They're getting excited. They're crying. They're shouting. They're praising the Lord. I don't feel nothing.
Yeah.
You get right there, boy, we'll have revival.
Amen.
He realized it was gone. He knew things was different. Boy, he knew it immediately. And I'll tell you something else he knew. He knew he couldn't keep going on like that.
Amen.
Man, they were in the business of cutting wood. He wasn't going to cut no wood. That's pretty good English for a southern hillbilly. He wasn't going to cut no wood, amen? His work didn't have the same ring to it.
That's right.
I hear them preach without it, boy. It don't have the right ring.
Yeah.
Dr. Upton put something in us when we were in Bible school. He said, real preaching has a ring to it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know it when you hear it. They all may be different, but they'll have a ring to it.
Yeah.
And brother and sister, preaching ought to have a ring to it.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else, too. Everybody around him knew it.
Amen.
I mean, then you got guys over there hitting that tree, man, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Yeah. Chips flying everywhere. He's over there, splat. Everybody around him knew he didn't have something. Say, Brother Jim, I got, hey, everybody knows you ain't got it. Why don't you just come on and ask for God to give it back? Your wife knows you ain't got it. Your husband knows you ain't got it. Your kids know you don't have it anymore. Not what you used to have. They know you ain't got it. First thing you do is admit it to yourself. I don't have a power of God like I used to. Hey, I'm not as close as I used to be. It don't excite me like it used to. Brother, sister, you know one of the greatest jobs you got as a Christian? I don't care if you've been saved a month or 20 years. One of the greatest jobs you got as a Christian is to keep your joy. Nobody wants what you got if you don't have no joy. My God, why would anybody want that? Didn't make you happy. I can't keep going on like this. It's all in the flesh, Brother Jim. Well, then come ask God to give it back to you.
Amen.
Not only that, Brother Sister, he not only realized it was gone, but he confessed it was gone. You know what he said? Hey, preacher, I ain't got it. Well, we'll have revival tonight if they'll do that.
Yeah.
Somebody nail Brother Allen here in a few minutes. Hey, preacher, pray for me. I ain't got it.
Yeah.
I lost it. It's all in the flesh.
Yeah.
I have to work it up now.
Yeah,
it used to be spontaneous. It used to be automatic. Now I have to pump it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, preacher, I ain't got it. He cried out, I ain't got it anymore. Told the preacher he didn't have it. Give us some men like that. Give us some men like Jonah.
Yeah.
Say, Jonah's going the wrong way. Yeah, but when he's going the wrong way. They said on the ship, thing about to go down the storm. They said, what you reckon the problem is, boys? Jonah said, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. You ask average Baptist there, what's the problem? Your home ain't no more spiritual than this. Well, my wife's not really in yet. My husband, he watches too much TV or something. No, why ain't you in? Jonah said, it's me. I'm the problem. Look no further. It's right here. I'm the problem. Give us some men like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else about that boy, brother and sister. He knew immediately, too. He knew it was not his power. He said, alas, it was borrowed. He said, it wasn't mine to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, it was borrowed. He said, somebody loaned that to me.
Wow.
Say, boy, you got up and you sure preached a good sermon the other day. It wasn't mine.
Yeah.
It was borrowed.
Yeah.
Boy, God's Holy Spirit sure showed up here night before last, man. We had us a time. It was borrowed. Yes. It wasn't you. Yes. It wasn't you that sung it down. It wasn't you that preached it down. Yes. It wasn't you. It was borrowed.
Amen.
Somebody loaned you. They loaned you what you got.
Yes.
It's borrowed. The power belonged to somebody else. I remember the first time I went to Brother Stocker's church and preached, I've told this. I probably told it here. But I remember the first time I went to his church and preached, and boy, I mean, I ain't never been anywhere to preach much except our church. He was one of my first road trips. I got down there, and by the way, brother, I appreciate that. Brother Easter, who you at there? He said, we're going to start off this revival slow. I was sitting there thinking, boy, I'm glad Brother Mark and Brother Easter went first. And then Brother Stocker tonight, amen. I said, praise the Lord, amen. But I remember going down there and preaching at his church. And I said, man, I've got to do a good job. I prayed, man, I sweated. I got up there, man, I gave the best I had. And I'm telling you, it didn't get no further than that pulpit right there. It was the awfulest mess I ever heard in my life. And it was a good sermon.
Yeah.
It was a good sermon. It just didn't go nowhere. And then I got back to the hotel room that night, man, I cried. I said, Lord God, please help me not do that again. And I remember praying just like I'm talking to you right now. And I said, Lord God, I said, they expected a preacher. I said, what are they going to think if that's the best I can do? And boy, just like that, not an audible voice, but the Lord said, son, I don't care what they think about you when you leave here. He said, I want to know what they think about me when you leave here.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, that helped me. That helped me down the road, boy. That's helped me a many a day. I don't care what you think about me. I want you to like me. But, man, I want you to thank a lot of God when we get done here. Amen. Listen, we need to realize, some of us, that we don't have what we used to have. And it's common. Don't think you're a devil. You probably are. But don't think you're just, don't think you're the only devil. Brother said, the Christian life is getting up. Getting sharp again.
Amen.
Staying sharp. That's the Christian life. Everybody loses their edge from time to time.
That's right.
Everybody, brothers and sisters. But you don't have, that's like getting head lice. It ain't no shame to get them, but it's a shame to keep them. Man. Hey, we need to realize first tonight, listen, you don't have what you used to. But remember, it wasn't us to begin with. It was the Lord. It was borrowed.
Amen.
And we can't keep operating in the flesh like this.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else about that man that loaned it to him. I bet you he wouldn't have loaned it to him if he didn't think he could have trusted him with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I will say this, brother and sister, secondly. I only got 3 points in a poem. We'll be gone. I will say this. To get it back, he had to go back. Down in verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? Where'd you lose it?
That's right.
He said, where'd you lose it? And the Bible says he showed him the place. He knew where he lost it.
Yep.
He showed him the place, Brother Allen. He said, I ask you tonight. He didn't get a prayer. He said, son, where'd you lose that axe head? Oh, gee willikers. I don't know for sure. It could have been. He knew exactly where he lost it.
Right.
He said, I lost it right there. Some of you sit here right now, if you be honest, you know where you begin to lose it at.
Amen.
You know exactly where you was at. You know exactly what you did when you was losing it. Amen. He knew where he lost it. He knew what he was doing when he lost it. My dad, I'd lose something at the house. My dad was like Brother Glenn's dad, I think. Probably Brother Ryman's dad, too. I think they all conversed. But my dad, I'd say, Dad, I've lost this. My dad say, where's the last place you had it? Every time, it's automatic. Where's the last place you had it? And I think for a little while, I said, yeah. Let me ask you tonight, where's the last place you had it?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, amen.
You ain't sharp as you used to be. You ain't got quite what you used to have. What, can you remember the last place you had it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Where'd you lose it? You remember the place you had it, don't you?
Yeah.
Some of you lost it when you did one act. I ain't saying you lost the Holy Spirit. I ain't saying teaching no false doctrine. I'm saying you lost the edge.
Yeah.
You do one edge, one act. You might. Some of you lost it When you kept up with that music, you were supposed to leave alone.
Right.
It'll get you edge, young people. And you know, you can almost tell people, the young people that are doing it, just by looking at them. They got a weird look on them. And it ain't just the rock and roll, it's the country music, it's the whole thing. Tammy Wynette, stand by your man. She stood by five of them. She stand by yours, she turned your back. Amen. Amen. Some of you lost it when you dress the way you dress. I'll let the preacher clean you up. But some of you lost it when you just kept dressing, just keep pushing the envelope. You lose it. I was so glad. I mean, a few years ago, we went to San Antonio to preach for Brother Bez. And that's when belly shirts was in style. And my, so everybody, every girl had on a belly shirt. And I'm telling you, some of them had on a belly shirt. They had the belly to go with it, boy. Buy something that'll fit you. Weird. They got these, they had these signs by all them rides there that said you have to be this tall to ride this ride, or you can't ride this ride. I wish they'd had that on them shirts. You have to be this size to wear this shirt. I'll go ahead and throw this out. I ain't got no business preaching this. That's your pastor's job. And I'm sure he does a good job at it. But when you buy your pants, girl, if you're going to wear them, if you buy them, buy something your size. Yeah. Get out of the juniors. Yeah. Your size is on the other side of the store.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll move on. Amen. Everybody says, well, you can't buy them today. The way they cut them, they cut them. Well, buy something bigger.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Some of you lost today, but the company you keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody ain't keeping good company. I like that story of that parrot who got out of his cage and he flew out over the cornfield that day and got loose. Boy, finally got free. Flew out there and got to running with a bunch of crows. Farmer went out there, seen them crows in his corn, and he threw up a shotgun, emptied a 12-gauge shotgun in them. Man, that old parrot made it home that night. One wing was broke, and he barely hopped back in to get back to his cage. Farmer said, what happened to you? He said, bad company, bad company. Well, that's what's going to get some of you. That's what's going to get you ruined. It's the company you keep, the language you use. Brother, sister, you ought not talk like that. If you're going to be saved, that you lose your edge. You won't have the edge talking like that old language anymore.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Jim, I get mad and blow my top just like a shotgun. It's over real quick. Yeah, but look at the damage it does.
Yeah.
Be careful. I can't cuss. You can't either.
Yeah.
You think a pastor don't have reason to cuss?
Yeah.
I say, you try pastoring for a few years. You hear some of the excuses you hear week after week, and you all say, yeah, I can tell you about your excuse. But you can't do it. If I can't do it, you can't either. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've heard that mess before. Amen. Unforgiving spirit, brother and sister. Oh, that'll get your edge. You got all against a brother or sister here, you lose your edge.
Yes, sir.
You got all against the way the preacher does things, you lost your edge.
Amen. Yeah.
You lose your edge doing that. You hold a grudge, you lose your edge. I'd fix that tonight if I was you. You know, I've said this before, probably here. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is you sitting across the table with somebody you hate, and you're drinking poison and waiting on them to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't going to kill them. It's going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Unforgiving spirit. Listen, I don't know where you lost it. Probably when you put your Bible down.
Yeah.
But you know. You know where you lost the edge. Oh, you're still saved. You still love the Lord. You're still trying to do right. But you're not sharp anymore. You don't enjoy it like you used to. You don't have God's touch like you used to have. Now listen, we can keep going through the motions. with no power, no real joy, siphoning off everybody else in the church. We call it home, an Alabama credit card in Arkansas.
Yeah.
An Alabama credit card's a piece of garden hose about that long, about 6 feet long. And if you ain't got no money, you stick that in somebody's tank. And you can siphon out enough gas to get somewhere.
Yeah.
It's an Alabama credit card. We used to fill our cars up like that when we was lost.
Yeah,
but you know, that's for some of you. Some of you ain't nothing in your tank.
Yeah.
Some of you siphoning off your wife. Some of you siphoning off your mom and dad.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing in the tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ain't got what you used to have.
Amen.
You're stealing gas from somebody else in the church. I've told you this before, and I'm almost done. I've told you this before, but it's worth repeating. We had a family down the road from us, and their name is Clymer. And my mama, we're real country folks in Tennessee, where we're from, real hillbillies. And my mama, she wanted to make us a little shortbread, a little sweet bread or something. She said, go down to the neighbors and borrow a cup of sugar. And that's what folks did. You folks my age, you know what I'm talking about. We go down the road and borrow a cup of sugar. They might come over to our house and borrow a cup of flour. That's what neighbors did.
Yeah.
And mom would send us often out and do stuff like that. And we'd go get it. She said, you go get us a cup of sugar, son. I'll make us a sweet bread. And I start outdoors. She said, but now don't go down to Clymer's. She said, they ain't got enough to keep herself alive. She said, don't borrow from them. She said, borrow from somebody else. And boy, I'm telling you what, if I was down tonight, half backslid and half out of the race, I wonder if I need to borrow a little bit tonight, if I could come to you.
Yeah.
Or do you not have enough to keep yourself alive?
Amen.
You ain't got, some of you ain't got enough to keep your own joy.
Yep.
Some of you don't have enough to put a smile on your face.
Amen.
How would we borrow anything from you? Don't borrow from him. Last, and I quit. Brother and sister, he got it back. But he got it back supernaturally. He threw that stake down. The Bible says the iron did swim. Woo! Came to the top. Hey, who did that? God did that. God got it back for him. God's the only one could have got it back. That's the only place you can get it back. If you want it back, Brother Allen can't do it. I can't do it. These guys on the front, they can't do it. You'll have to come down here and do business with God. And if you'll do that, we'll have revival. Guarantee you. No man can get it back without God. Mama and daddy and the preacher can't do it. You have to deal with him. Here's some things the text don't say. I bet when he got it back, I bet you took very care of it.
Yeah.
Don't you? I bet you when he got it back, it sure felt good to be used again.
Yeah.
I bet it sure felt good to get something done again.
Yeah.
Instead of just going through the motions like most Baptists do. Churches tonight are full of people who once really had it, but they're not happy. Oh, they'll fake a smile. They'll get to their spot in a song. They'll shout and raise their hand. But they're not happy, and they're not bearing fruit like they used to. Preaching don't stir them up like it used to. The songs don't even stir them up like it used to. What happened, Brother Jim? They lost something. They lost their edge. Oh, Brother Jim, I still feel the Lord's presence every now and then. I'm not talking about his presence. I'm talking about his power. You'll have his presence if you're saved. Oh, well, he still answers my prayers. Well, praise God for that.
Amen.
You know, the children of Israel went through the wilderness 40 years. Their feet didn't swell. Their shoes didn't wear. They prayed for water. They got it. They asked for bread. They got it. They asked for meat. They got it. They got their prayers answered all through the wilderness.
Yep.
But they were miles, miles from where God wanted them to be.
Yeah, right,
you think because God still answers your prayers, you're where God wants you to be?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not close. Listen, there's only one cure tonight. Admit it's gone. Hard to do, ain't it? Confess it's gone. Tell your preacher. Tell somebody. Tell your wife or husband. Go back where you lost it. And ask God to give it to you one more time. Would you stand?